Welcome to the jungle. We go to hour number three. What's cracking? Nice to be with you on this Tuesday. I am Jim Rome. All right, we started the third hour. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Telephone number quickly, 1-800-636-8686. If you're already on hold, you want to stay on hold. Phone call is coming up a little bit later on. If you're not, I do have an open phone line, and it's good everywhere. As promised, though, we're joined right now by a tackle for the L.A. Chargers. He is your 2020 Outland Trophy Watch Lister, a 2020 preseason All-American, and All-Big Ten selection at Northwestern. He was the 13th pick overall in this year's draft. We are talking about Rashawn Slater. Rashawn, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
Man, I'm great. I'm doing great, and it's nice to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Listen, if you would, take me back to Thursday when the Chargers make that call and they draft you with the 13th pick overall. I know that they were pumped to pick you. What do you remember about picking up that phone call and receiving it?
Man, it was a lot of chaos. Like, you know, watching the draft for so many years, it always seems like it goes on forever. But, like, on Thursday afternoon, for me, it was just flying by. With all the trade backs that were happening around 10, 11, 12, too, I really wasn't sure what was going to happen. And so when I finally got that call, it was just relief at first. And then, you know, talking to the GM and the coaches, I started to get super excited, just realizing all the weapons they had. And, you know, they got Justin, some of my old teammates were there, and I just realized it couldn't be a more perfect fit.
Rashawn Slater joining us. You know, I want to talk about that in a minute, but listen, I understand that you've got a lot of work in front of you. I know you're focused on the next step, but when you think about that journey, when you think about the work you've put in, when you think about everything you've done to put yourself in that position to be drafted, and that moment finally comes, I mean, what does that feel like? Do you allow yourself a chance to celebrate, reflect on that, or are you already on to the next thing?
Yeah, really, it's got to be on to the next thing. The way it is with, like, rookie minicamp being right around the corner and me now knowing the expectations for me for next season, I really just got to get back to work. But at the same time, like, I wasn't even able to, like, process what happened to me on that night just because we had to go talk, you know, do interviews and do some media stuff. And then when I got to my hotel with my family, it was so late that, like, I really, like, it really started to hit me, like, the following couple days. So that's been really nice, but at the same time, like, kind of gotten back to work, back in the swing of things with my training.
It doesn't sound like you have a lot of time to really celebrate that thing and kind of reflect on that. Like, you're already right back at it. Now, you mentioned your family. If we were to go back a little bit, your father, Reggie, is the all-time leading rebounder at the University of Wyoming. He played pro basketball for 12 years, including 8 in the NBA. I'm curious, how much did you learn from him about what it takes to be a great athlete and the mentality that's required to be great?
I've learned so much from him. Ever since I was a little kid, he's been taking me and my older brother out, doing basketball drills in the yard and stuff like that. And so, like, he was always trying to coach us up. And then when I really started to pursue football for myself, that wisdom he had from his experience, it was invaluable because he just taught me how to take care of my body. He taught me, like, the value of just long-term consistency in my training and stuff like that. And then just, like, tons of little things, like, stuff that applies to rebounding, a lot of it applies to O-line play, like leverage, hand usage, and stuff like that. And so he's definitely been, like, a huge influence on me. So it's been really valuable to have him.
Rashawn Slater joining us. You know, your high school team won 3 games in your final 3 seasons. And I'm kind of curious, like, when you're a young guy and you're coming up and you're competitive and you so badly want to win, it's easy to get demoralized or get down. And then you don't want to be selfish, right? You don't want to be there just for yourself. I'm kind of curious how you were able to process that. And was there something or some things that you learned during that time that made you a better player? Like, how did you process all of that?
Yeah, for sure. Again, that a lot of that being able to be resilient through that just came from my dad, and he taught me the importance of having a vision and that it wasn't always going to come immediately. And so, you know, losing sucked. It always sucks no matter where you are, but during that time, I feel like it just taught me how to be able to ignore that and just focus on what I can control. And really just, I feel like that period of my life where we were losing games and I wasn't seeing the benefits of my hard work, like, that kind of taught me just character-wise how to face and how to deal with adversity.
Man, that is so key. I think that's so important what you just said. I think there's a lot of people listening right now, young athletes or parents of young athletes, that maybe they're young athletes, not in the best situation, but you can't control that, right? But you can control your work and your attitude and how you approach it. And then last season had to be really challenging, and you decided ultimately to opt out of the 2020 season. What was that decision-making process like? Because I know your teammates are your brothers, so I'm curious mm-hmm. what it was like to be away from them, and then what went into that decision?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a really challenging decision. Kind of was made for me initially with the Big Ten canceling the season.
Right.
And so once they did that, my mindset was, I'm going to get ready for my rookie year. And so I immediately hired an agent and started training. And I was training in Dallas for 3 weeks whenever they reinstated the season. And at that point, that's when the really hard decision came in. And I talked a lot to my coaches at Northwestern and my teammates at Northwestern and my parents. And just kind of talking through it, you know, I ended up making the decision that there was so much uncertainty surrounding, you know, how college football would be played, that it would be best for me to just keep on focusing on my training. But like watching them, you know, on TV, it was really weird and it was hard, especially early on, you know, seeing those guys, seeing clips from practice and games, like it was hard to watch, but at the same time, that kind of motivated me to make sure I wasn't wasting any of this time and that I was using it to its fullest.
I appreciate that response. Rashawn Slater joining us. Now, Northwestern is such a unique place, like a really, really good football program and an absolutely amazing academic institution. That was your first offer when you were in high school. When you received that offer, how much, though, did you really know about the school and the program?
Almost nothing. Like, I'm a Houston kid, and so Northwestern, like, the first thought that popped in my head was Northwestern State over in Louisiana.
Great.
So, like, yeah, and so whenever they reached out, they were the first one to, like, ask about my academic transcript and stuff, and I was like, who are these guys? But then to go from that to committing to them, like, within a matter of just a few months, kind of goes to show, like, the impression they made on me when I visited and stuff like that.
Speaking of impressions, back in March, you showed up at your pro day and you blew everybody away with 33 reps on the bench, a 33-inch vert, 4.88 40 time. So how pleased were you with that performance? And then what kind of a reaction did you hear from scouts and teams after that day?
I was pleased with it. Definitely showed that, you know, I had been working and I had, you know, kind of transformed myself during this time off from playing. And so I felt like it was just good to show that, and I was relieved to have it over with because now I don't have to worry about running fast ever again. I can just play O-line. But, yeah, I mean, scouts said that they were impressed with the workout, and I feel like it definitely proved to them that I had been working this whole time.
Yeah, but, dude, you might not love running, although you ran really fast for somebody your size. I know you're not going to tell me you don't love the weight room, right? You love being in the weight room.
Oh, no, I love the weight room. That's my natural habitat.
That is your natural habitat. For instance, there's a video of you that appears to show you front squatting 495 for three reps. Seems to me that would be a monster back squat, but to do that as a front squat and to do it for multiple reps seems kind of crazy to me. You don't just walk into the weight room one day and put that on the bar and bang it out. That's a product of a lot of work. Like, the weight room, is that, did you convince yourself to love it because you need to and that's part of your job, or do you really love being in there?
No, I really love being in there. Like, I feel like the environment in that clip of the weight room just tells you everything you need to know. Like, when you're on a team and you guys are all working for the same thing, the weight room is just such a fun place to be in. Like, everyone's rooting for each other. You can be as crazy as you want to be. It's really just a party. So I've always loved it.
Rashawn Slater joining us. It's really just a party. Listen, you're going to join a Chargers team that has its franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. He's coming off a Rookie of the Year award-winning season. How excited are you to be a part of this young, exciting offense? And from what you know about it, how's it look to you?
That's super exciting, honestly. Like you said, you know, having Herbert there, having just all the young talent, but at the same time having all those veterans, especially in the O-line room, I feel like that's going to be so important for me early on, just picking those guys' brains and learning from them. I couldn't have chosen a better situation to be in.
Hey, Rashawn, I got to ask you about Eliza. Who is Eliza?
Eliza is my bearded dragon.
All right, so Tell me, like, what's her backstory? Where did you get her? What's she like?
All right, well, you know, growing up, I always wanted a pet bearded dragon. My mom would never let me. And then my landlord in college was allergic to, like, cats and dogs. And so I couldn't get one of those, but I just wanted a pet. And so I finally realized my dream, in, like, summer 2019 of getting Eliza. There was a, like, a reptile expo in the Chicago area. And so me and my friends drove down there, and it was love at first sight.
So, dude, like, what is a bearded dragon like as a pet? I mean, does she have, like, a personality?
Yeah, I would say she does, honestly. Like, a lot of the times, sometimes she'll just sit there, like, motionless for hours, and it's like, is she even alive? But then other times, like, there's been times where I've been trying to meet with teams on Zoom, and she's just been going crazy in the background, and I'm, like, embarrassed because she's, like, kind of trying to get out and jump all over everything. So, you know, she's very kind of split in the way she is, but I always enjoy having her around. She always brightens my day.
All right, so, like, right when you think it can't get any more wild than that, is it true? Do you really make her a salad? And do you make her a salad every single day?
Yeah, of course. That's what she eats most of the time. I feed her bugs a couple times a week, but the majority of it is salad, and that's me making it.
Dude, like dressing or no dressing?
Oh, no dressing. I'll put some, like, supplement dust on top of it, though, to make sure she's healthy.
Some supplement dust. And the bugs, man, you catch the bugs yourself or you buy the bugs?
No, that'd be awesome, though. I'd buy them.
Dude, you're committed. You are committed to Eliza. Like, how long do you think Eliza is going to live?
You read online, it's anywhere from, like, 6 to 12 years. She's about 2 years now, so we've got some time.
How big is she?
I'd say she's about, from head to end of her tail, like, probably about 16 inches.
Is she going to get
which
much?
Is like kind of a smaller adult, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, how much bigger will she get?
She's fully grown, but, like, you can see him all the way up to, like, 25 inches, so she's not terribly big.
And, man, you can tell I'm into this. We should have, like, a bearded dragon combine.
Yeah, she'd be pretty fast. When she wants to go, she can go.
Or a pro day. Or a pro day for Eliza, so she can just kick ass and then be amongst all the great bearded dragons. So, Rashawn Slater joining us. Kind of went off the beaten path on that, but that's really interesting. The 13th pick overall in the draft. Welcome to L.A., my man. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. And I know you will, but take care of Eliza.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, sir. Good job. I appreciate that. You got to get different. And they got themselves a really good offensive lineman. 13th pick overall in the draft. I love that he's from Houston and wasn't really sure where Northwestern was. But as you can tell, not nearly as much as the fact that he's got a bearded dragon. I'm all about that. You want to know what these guys are like, right? Remember back in the day when we had, like, Snake Guy or Reptile Guy? I mean, that's when you hear that, he said, I always wanted one. And then I got one. He makes her salad. And we'll sprinkle dust on it. Supplemental dust. Definitely want that guy on your team. 1-800-636-8686. We are open phones the rest of the way. What I do want to talk about, still yet, I'll take your reaction to it. I want to talk about Steph Curry and what he's doing still. Rome Slice, we are all in on the Star Wars holiday. Regards, Cheeto dust, handprints on a white t-shirt. Geoff and Lincoln. I mentioned that there's a bigger bag out there than even Johnny Scabs. All right, debatable. I might have jumped the gun on that one. But I've got a guy in the same conversation. There's definitely somebody in the same conversation. Like, when you heard Scabs, did you not want to punch him in the face? I've got a story about a guy that once you hear this, you're going to want to punch this guy in the face too. I don't condone violence. I'm not whipping you into a frenzy and saying that you should want to punch Scabs in the face. I'm saying I've read your tweets. A lot of you want to punch Scabs in the face. There's somebody else that you're going to want to punch in the face. And I'll have that for you too when we come back. So I've got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? Obviously, it's so good. It's kind of what started this whole thing with Scabs, right? There's something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic clear view packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender, it's never tough, because they use only the finest ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in four exceptional flavors. You have Old Fashioned, you have Teriyaki, you have hot and spicy, and you have peppered. All seasoned at its best, and it is a cold beer's best friend. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load up with an 18-ounce bag where there's enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Oh, Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
The ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. You know, I haven't had that conversation. The one thing I've never done that I think I want to do now, I think I want to go trip around the Reptile Expo, see what's up. That'd be a blast, man. Because it wouldn't just be iguanas. It would be the Reptile Expo. All right, allow me to go off the board on this one. Why? Because I can. Same reason anybody does anything, because they can. And because I think we can all relate to it. But I am off the board on this. I'm going to be very clear about that. I'm off the board on this. Now, the barrier for entry on this next story is very simple. Have you ever been to a Starbucks? I'm going to assume that you have, considering there are like 9,000 stores in the United States and like 33,000 worldwide. And if you're a normal human being, you probably drink coffee. Personally, I don't want to be friends with people who don't. That's just me. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not judging. I'm looking at you, Rit. That old man drinks hot chocolate, but not coffee. I'm just saying, it's hard for me. Now, some people say, yeah, I can't really be friends with people who don't drink. I would never say that. But I will say it's going to be hard for me to be friends with you if you do not drink coffee. I feel that strongly about the product. I love it. I need it. I want it. I love it. Now, having said that, chances are, if you're listening, you have been to a Starbucks. And if you've been to a Starbucks, you know the drill. Again, from personal experience, I start every single morning at a Starbucks. I do. At least during the week, on the way to work. I hit one on the way in. It's a good experience. I love it. However, it can be a bad experience, depending on who you are and where you go. You know the drill. Whether it's the drive-thru or the walk-up counter, either way, you're probably going to get into a long line, unless you go really early. You'll get into a long line. You'll wait, you'll order, you'll wait some more. They call your name, you sleeve up, you leave. The efficiency of the line is based on one thing and one thing only. Your drink order. The real heroes of Starbucks, the entire experience, are the people who order drip coffee with no room. You know that order. Grande Pike, no room. No room means you want nothing in it. These people are in and out without the espresso machine ever turning on to pull a single shot. Just black liquid gold from the tap, and they're on their way. I love these people. I admire these people. I am one of these people. They're the heroes of the Starbucks experience, because the baristas do not have to become cocktail mixologists for 10 minutes, and because everybody behind them in line gets to move up faster. Do you not see somebody order like that and not want to hug them, high-five them, be friends with them, tell them how much you look up to them? Yes. Now, let me give you the opposite. They're the heroes. Here is the Starbucks Antichrist. His name is Edward. Edward is the name on a drink order posted to Twitter by a Starbucks barista. Edward has since gone viral because Edward actually ordered the following science project. This was Edward's order. Venti caramel crunch, frappuccino, 5 bananas, extra caramel drizzle, extra whip, extra ice, extra cinnamon, 7 pumps of caramel sauce, extra caramel crunch, 1 pump of honey, extra salted caramel, 5 pumps of frappuccino roasted coffee, 7 extra scoops of chocolate chips, heavy cream, and double blended. Fact. There's a picture. It went viral. It belongs to Edward. I'm not a violent guy. I do not condone violence. I pay a hell of a lot of money to punch Edward in the face. And I know I'm not the only one. That's not a coffee order. That's a freaking manifesto. And frankly, Edward, you deserve some serious, serious time, either getting punched in the face or put in jail or both. My man, maybe even the chair. Can I run this back one more time? This guy literally asked for this. This is not for the whole office, all right? You know, there are idiots that do that, too. The ones who come with that list to order for 6 people. This is one order, one guy. Venti, caramel crunch, frappuccino, 5 bananas, extra caramel drizzle, extra whipped cream, extra ice, extra cinnamon, 7 pumps of the caramel sauce, extra caramel crunch, 1 pump of honey, extra salted caramel, 5 pumps of frappuccino roasted coffee, 7 extra scoops of chocolate chips, heavy cream, oh, and double blended. Dude, who thinks that up? Who sits around and thinks a drink like that up? How the hell is that even possible? Scientists need to study a mind that deranged. Imagine shamelessly standing in line and saying that out loud to another human being in front of the 15 human beings behind you, and then imagine doing that 5 days a week. Edward, you D-bag. Imagine everybody behind Eddie who has to text their boss and tell them they're going to be 2 days late for work because some barista has to input the nuclear codes into a blender. I promise you this, I could finish a game of Monopoly before somebody finished making that drink, and Monopoly takes a month minimum. Hell, I could finish watching half of The Irishman before Edward's concoction was ready. Actually, I'm sorry. I took that joke too far. I pride myself on being accurate and not exaggerating or embellishing. Let me fix that. I could finish watching 1/4 of The Irishman in the time that it would take to make Edward's beverage. There. That's better. I don't think that I've ever hated anyone that I haven't met. But let the record reflect, I hate Edward's guts. In fact, I think I hate Edward more than I hate anybody I have met. That's how much I hate this guy. And I don't know him, and I didn't have to wait behind him. And I'd love to say I know the type, but I don't. I've seen a lot of things at Starbucks, but I've never seen anything like that. And by the way, I don't hate this guy only for that drink order. I hate him, and hate's a strong word, especially at a time like this. But I do hate this guy. And I hate him because, you know, that's his go-to. That's not Eddie's birthday drink. That's not Eddie's Saturday drink. Man, that's freaking Edward's go-to. That's no one-off. My man is doing that multiple times a week. I hate his guts for that. I hate him for this. I hate that I know that he refers to that drink as coffee. My man, that's not coffee. There's nothing coffee about that. That's a bleeping candy milkshake. That's a diabetic coma, Edward. That's a suicide note, Edward. It's got to be 4,000 calories a cup, Eddie. Which is 1,000 more calories or 4,000 more calories that are in an actual cup of coffee, Ed. Just because you got it at Starbucks does not mean it's coffee. And this goes for everybody who rolls out of Starbucks with a milkshake. Stop calling it coffee. It's not. Just go to Baskin Robbins and get a milkshake if you want a milkshake. Jerks. Just don't tell people who went to get a cup of coffee that you went to get coffee when you got a giant vat of fat. All right? I know it makes you feel better about yourself saying that you went in for a cup of coffee, but you didn't. We did. You didn't. Words are important. So is telling the truth. You're not holding a cup of coffee. You're holding something that's more like a Dairy Queen Blizzard, jerk. Hey, Edward, whoever you are, you're a coffee terrorist. Nobody likes you. The people in line hate you. I hate you. The baristas hate you. The internet hates you. Your arteries really, really hate you. I know you've got no shame because there's no way anybody who does that, much less on the regular, has any shame. But although you have no shame, Edward, let me say this to you. Shame on you, Ed. All of it. All of the shame in the world is on you, sir. May you bathe in all that shame. May it wash over you and bring about some sort of self-awareness. I got news for you, dude. They don't serve drinks like that in hell. And you better figure out how selfish you are before you end up in an internal fire lake of damnation. You're selfish, dude. You're selfish and your arteries are clogged. I'm here to help, man. Stop. Man, you gotta be some kind of bad, selfish dude to do something like that. Just not give a damn. Just not give a damn about anybody but you. I know you don't give a damn about your arteries, Ed. Am I right? Am I right? I'd say we all know Edward, but we don't. I'll never say anything like that. So, big shout out to that barista who finally said, enough's enough, man. I'm going online with this. Really quickly. Venti Caramel Crunch, Frappuccino, 5 bananas, extra caramel drizzle, extra whip, extra ice, extra cinnamon, 7. Like LeBron, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6. 7 pumps of caramel sauce, extra caramel crunch, 1 pump of honey, extra salted caramel, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4. 5 pumps of Frappuccino roasted. 7 extra scoops of chocolate chips, heavy cream, double blended. That's Edward. Of course you got to double blend that. What single blender could take all that on? Not that little bullet blender. Nathan tweets, a reason to go is when somebody orders a CVS receipt at any drive-thru. D-Rod, quote, can we all agree that Edward has no friends and plays D&D online? Dear Edward, welcome to my world. Signed, that clone's dad with diabetes.
Diabetes, 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 diabetes.
Rome, I am a Starbucks guy. I've actually been so excited about the normal order that I will buy coffee for that person just for not being a D-bag. Johnny in Green Bay. War keeping it moving at Starbucks. Jim, sending Edward to the guillotine should be the task that finally unites this country. I mean, we'd all be in agreement about that, right? It's so true, man. There is nothing, nothing more infuriating. Jana and I went to breakfast here today, and it's one of those places where there's a line out the door. And they bring you the menu, or they bring you the link to the menu, and you're outside for 25 minutes. The menu is so easy. You finally get to the front where they don't sit you down. You have to order before you get your table. And I'm looking at this family that's already been outside a half hour, and they're just staring up at the menu. And it's taken them another 20 minutes to order. I'm like, what the bleep have you been looking at? You've had a menu in your hand for a half hour, man. Just get up there, order, and keep moving. And even they've got nothing on Edward. Coffee's no joke, man. Know your order, unless that's your order. That's a real thing. Hey, Jim, I can't watch MMA, but I would gladly punch Eddie in the face. Diabetes called. They want their drink back. Brad diabetes, in the 360, so-called bicycle boy. Yeah, right. Wore tall, dark, roast black. Diabetes, bicycle boy diabetes, even diabetes. Advocates violence, and he can't handle MMA. My man wants to go all jiu-jitsu on Edward. When we come back, who knows, right? I'm going to try and talk some Steph Curry when we come back. Like, that's a real thing. That order, that really happens. Here is your sports update. All right, so really quickly, some reaction to that last take, and then I want to talk some gambling. Sean Rohasek, quote, please send Edward to the chopper, even though he doesn't have a golden ticket. Rome, I wonder if Eddie from Starbucks is laying in bed next to his son. Hey, Rome, did you say that person's name was Edward? Sounds a lot like what my wife gets every freaking day. It's hell, Rome. I get my paycheck on Monday. It's gone by Tuesday because of coffee orders like that. Branson in Toledo. You know, it's funny you say that. I was so caught up for a moment, well, for 8 minutes, on what this a-hole was ordering. And then I thought to myself, what must that drink cost? What must that drink cost? Rome, Garrett Ritt orders his coffee under the name of Edward? Can you ask him why? Never mind, I don't care. Five bananas. Seven scoops of chocolate chips. Let's talk some gambling. Because people gamble more and more and more as it becomes legalized in more and more states. Do you know the name Taylor Gooch? It's not a household name by any stretch, but if you follow golf closely, there's a pretty good chance you've heard that name. And probably because of a recent close call at the Players' Championship a couple of months back when he got a lot of FaceTime on TV. Keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. He had a really good showing on a very big stage recently. So let's talk recency bias. Recency bias is when you see something in the present moment and it sticks to the front of your brain because it's fresh. Then you make a decision based on that belief that you just saw something and that it's going to hold true in the future as well. I'll give you an example. Maybe you saw the Lakers lose to the lowly Raptors on Sunday night. Then you heard that LeBron banged up his ankle again, and they might be backsliding into a play-in scenario that they don't want to be in. All of that information was very recent. And if you gave in to recency bias, then you might have bet against them last night because they were going up against a red-hot Nuggets team. A red-hot Nuggets team that the Lakers beat. Because recent information is not always the best information. Recent information cannot always be an accurate predictor of the future. I say all of this because of this. Taylor Gooch, got some love. In fact, more than a little from the betting public at the Valspar Championship this past weekend, despite the fact that he's, well, Taylor Gooch. And he hasn't won anything really that's mattered since the Web.com tour was still a thing. However, the aforementioned recency bias from that fifth place finish at the Players' Championship was enough to get a grip of people throwing some value bets his way. Remember what I said. Recent information is not always the best information, right? He goes out, he shoots 73, 74, he misses the cut, and he goes back home before he can unpack a weekend bag. Speaking of bags, some loser on Twitter named Vin tweeted at the Gooch, let him know how bad he was for making three straight bogeys on his way to getting cut Friday. Gooch retweets that and writes, did you bet on me? Turns out a lot of other people had. And they hit the Gooch up and they showed him screenshots of their wagers. It was at that point that Gooch went legend, because the Gooch started replying and asking these degenerate freeloaders for their Venmo handles. He proceeds then to start refunding bets. And now these same people who were posting screenshots of the Gooch for being a hack and a bag have cash hitting their phones and they're calling him their favorite golfer ever. Hard to tally up the final amount because these tweets are scattered all over the place and they keep coming in. And probably by my doing this on the way out the door, I'm going to cost the Gooch even more cash by announcing it to my billions of listeners that he's out here slinging refunds. But it doesn't seem like it's a huge tab because a lot of these bets were $5 or $10. But what that is the ultra rare reversal of turning a missed cut into a win-win. You can't buy PR this good. Going online and refunding bets is a guaranteed way to get fans for life and to get some national run. Who even knew who the Gooch was before 5 minutes ago? I'm not saying that's why he did it, but I'm saying that both those things are happening right now. And he's getting all this positive national run at a relatively low cost. Here's how generous my man was feeling over the weekend. Some egg hit up the Gooch, told him that they didn't bet on him, but they want him some Chipotle. And they requested $8. Gooch hits that person back with $11 on Venmo and writes on the memo line, and I quote, add some guac, dog. End of quote. My man is like the best dude ever. And if he's not the best dude ever, he is the smartest dude ever. What an utterly perfect, if not downright iconic use of social media. Dude just sprung for Chipotle and guac. He's spending $11 to go from anonymous to household. Anonymous to household for $11. All from missing a cut. Taylor bleeping Gooch. Just playing Twitter like a fiddle. Hey, Matt Kuchar, you see what giving out money can do for your rep instead of holding onto it with a death grip? Could you imagine asking Matt Kuchar for Chipotle? My man would toss a frozen burrito at you from 7-Eleven, or better yet, hit you over the head with it, make you microwave it, and then eat it himself, and make you buy hot sauce for it. For him. Meanwhile, the Gooch is out here chipping off a scoop of guac. Anonymously. Man, this is some kind of dude. Hopefully the Gooch doubled back, added a few extra bucks for the toilet paper to whoever went to Chipotle on his dime this past weekend. Either way, my man, extremely well played. If Edward is a guy you want to punch in the face, Gooch is a guy that you want to be the best man at your wedding. Way to turn a bad weekend into a great week, Gooch. Extremely well played, bro. Way to handle your business. From missing the cut to being the Jack Nicklaus of life. This dude's awesome. What a wild hour that was, right? Huge call. Brought to you by the next generation of paint protection. It's here. 303 graphene nano spray coating, providing up to 1 year of professional level protection, insane water beating, jaw-dropping shine, and all with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. Just trying to keep things interesting around here, man. Going off the beaten path, having a little fun. And now we're done. My thanks to Ben Golliver. Rashawn Slater. Jeremiah Owusu Koromoa. The XR4TI. You clones. Except for one of you. No names mentioned, scabs. Everybody else have an amazing day. See you tomorrow. We're out.